Indeed, we are all Crowleyites now. It was Crowley's insight that if you aren't going to expropriate private businesses, but instead want to use business to implement your social agenda, then you should want businesses themselves to be as big as possible. What's easier, strapping 5,000 cats to a wagon or a couple of giant oxen? Al Gore's rhetoric about the need to tame big oil and the like is a posit. He doesn't want to nationalize big oil. He wants to yoke it to his own agenda. Likewise, Hillary Clinton's proposed health care reforms, as well as most of the proposals put forward by leading Democrats and a great many Republicans, involve the fusion of big government and big business. The economic ideas in Hillary Clinton's It Takes a Village are breathlessly corporatist. A number of our most powerful telecommunications and computer companies have joined forces with the government in a project to connect every classroom in America to the Internet, she gushes. Socially minded corporate philosophies are the avenue to future prosperity and social stability. It doesn't take a Rosetta Stone to decipher what liberals mean by socially minded corporate philosophies. The granddaddy of all such philosophies is, of course, industrial policy, the ghost of corporatism made flesh in modern liberalism. In 1960, President Kennedy called for a new partnership with corporate America. In the 1970s, Jimmy Carter called for reindustrialization under a new social contract to deal with a crisis of competitiveness. A young aide in the Carter administration named Robert Reich launched his career as a buzz phrase generator, spewing out such impressive sounding nuggets as target stimulants and indicative planning. Later, the Atari Democrats once again claimed that the future lay in strategic partnerships between the public and the private sectors. In the 1980s, envy for corporatist Japan Incorporated reached delirious proportions. The intellectual descendants of those who worship Bismarck's Prussia and Mussolini's Ministry of Corporations now fell under the spell of Japan's Ministry of International Trade and Industry, which soon became the lodestar of enlightened economic policy. James Fallows led an all-star cast of liberal intellectuals, including Clyde Prestowitz, Pat Choate, Robert Kuttner, Ira Magaziner, Robert Reich, and Lester Thurow, in a quest for the holy grail of government-business collaboration. Reich was one of the pioneers of the Third Way movement. Indeed, Mickey Kaus writes that Third Way rhetoric is Reich's most annoying habit and his characteristic mode of argument. In 1983, Reich wrote The Next American Frontier, in which he championed an extreme form of corporatism. Klaus's words were, in exchange for restructuring assistance from the government, businesses would agree to maintain their old workforces intact.